da 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 da.
You sound insane. You realize that?
Yeah.
The whole world gone crazy. Seriously?
It's showtime.
We finally arrived, guys, to wrap up the year. And I gotta say, it's been a long 3 weeks. Time to finally call an end to this one.
No, no, can't. We're doing the 2022.
Wave the white flag. Oh.
Yeah, end of year. Yeah, sorry, dude.
Gosh, I do this every single year. I'm just gonna have to get a movie year calendar where I live my life by the movie year and not by the regular year anymore.
Right, yeah.
It's like, guys, it's November over here. I don't know about, I don't know about you guys, but it's mid-November. We're getting gearing up for Thanksgiving.
Speaking of years, guys, we did.
Yeah, look at that.
As of yesterday, we did this thing for 10 years.
10 years, man. And
this is the last episode.
This is the last episode, yeah. Mm-hmm. I did the math right before we came on the air. This is episode number 900 on the dot.
Wow.
10 years, 900 episodes. So,
wow.
See you guys later.
Weird.
We're out.
That's weird planning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worked out really well.
So there you go. What a way to celebrate 10 years. Then by doing a patent's been pending for 10 years. Right. Still need to check in on that. Office. Patent pending top 10 episode. I'm pretty sure we are the first podcast to ever do top 10s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the only, definitely my favorite episode to do, because we look back at all the craziness, both good and bad, that was the year of 2022 in movies. So bets are closed. Lists have been locked, guys. No changes from here on out.
Yep. No take backs.
I know we've been algorithming and spreadsheeting for the past few days, gearing up for this. I've been binge watching movies like crazy. I don't know about you guys, but I would say 15 of these movies I watched in the past 2 weeks, maybe. That was just complete cram mode. At the end of the year, the way work got crazy at the end of the year, I wasn't able to see as many as I wanted to, so I had to do full-on cram mode before this, and there's still a few I haven't gotten to that I wish I could have seen for this list.
Same.
So maybe there's an
Ken
addendum,
hasn't seen Top Gun, Banshees, Woman King, right? You haven't seen
Avatar.
Yeah, you haven't seen Avatar or The Fableman. So other than that, you're pretty current.
He's locked and loaded.
Yeah. So just, you know.
He saw Morbius seven times, though. So
he's the only
watch Morbius again.
Only Best Picture movie I saw was Triangle of Sadness. Because that was the only title that appealed to me.
Just
like, I can relate to that. Yeah. I can just sing the title. I'm good. I'm good there. All right. So here we are. This is going to be fun. I think we should start out with worst of the year. We'll also get to biggest surprises, biggest disappointments, and also most valuable player of the year and least valuable player of the year a little bit later, as well as our top movies. But Brian Gill, how many movies did you see in 2022?
123.
You!
Yeah, looking at my letterbox now, 123. I imagine I'll do. I haven't been able to see The Whale or Women Talking. Oh, like I'll probably watch To Leslie and Living before the Oscar. So like 4 or 5 more movies to go, but for the Oscar purposes, not for this. I would be surprised if any of those movies would have made my top 10, probably. So I feel okay about it. But yeah, 123. That's about the goal. Usually I try to land somewhere around 100 to 120. So that was about right, and still missed a few. So our friends Tanner and Rod in the Discord, they put me to shame. I bet Megan did too. I bet they put me to shame across the board. I think they probably
saw there are a few in the Discord that watch 200 plus a year. And
Our buddy Megan amazing. Spell, I think her goal might be 100. I don't know. She may text me and be like, you're an idiot. But usually she has seen a significantly more than I have at this point of the year. But
Richard, did you keep count at all? You have a list of all the ones you saw or just the top 10s?
I quantify everything else I do. I've got like a book spreadsheet and you know, I track my sleep and my thing. Movies are the one thing that I kind of just let be. So I have no idea. If I were to estimate, it would be every movie we did an episode of, minus maybe five throwbacks that I just knew well enough that I didn't feel like I had to rewatch. Mm-hmm. And then maybe add five movies we didn't do episodes on. So whatever that number is, I would guess probably about where I am.
Sure.
According to my Letterboxd, I watched 71, which is more than last year. I thought it was less than last year. It felt like less. Apparently last year I watched 61.
Watching Taken count?
No, because then it would be 100 and I would be up there in Brian territory.
Yeah.
I only log movies that I count for this list, though. I don't log documentaries and a lot of other stuff that I watch throughout the year. Yeah. So I only log list eligible movies on Letterboxd. Maybe I probably saw over 100 when it comes to documentaries and concert films or what have you. But this was the ones that qualified. 71. I should have stopped a little bit earlier, but there it is.
Almost
got and it. Almost nailed it.
Yeah. Now you got to
see
watch
what I did there.
98 more. Yeah.
And okay, let's start with bottom 10. So Brian, kick us off.
Let me give you just a couple of. Let me say this. The top of this year is very good. It's a top heavy year. I don't know that there's any like great movies, but maybe a couple that are on the cusp of that or close. It wasn't like the best movie year ever, but it was a pretty good year for not watching awful movies, if that makes sense. Like there were way fewer "this is just a pile of dog crap" movies that I saw this year that were in contention this year. So good job.
I actively avoided a lot this year that I knew were bad. The ones that made my list, I feel like I stumbled upon or sought out because they were actively bad.
Okay. I don't think I did really. I mean, there was only one or two that I went out of my way to watch because I knew they were going to be awful and I needed them on this list. But it wasn't as far as just terrible movies goes. It wasn't the worst. My three little quick honorable mentions for worst of the year are 355 or the 355. I don't know, the Jessica Chastain, Lupita Nyong'o, Diane Kruger action movie that Simon Kinberg directed for some, just terrible. That was pretty bad. I hated Alex.
Is that
Garland's.
A Netflix one?
No, I think it was on Peacock. I mean, it came out in theaters. It was not a Netflix movie, but it was bad. It was not a good movie. Alex Garland's Men is an honorable mention here. I don't know what the last thing of that movie was, but I did not.
I knew you would love that, Brian. I was very disappointed we didn't have you on that review. It's like, this is Brian Gill review central. Bad. This is why he gets paid the big bucks.
Yeah, it was,
and they're really big
quite
bucks.
Quite bad. At some point, you know, as the person who's the lowest on Ex Machina, despite it's very, very good movie, I think I'm still the lowest on that. Like, I do think that Alex Garland is going to make a perfect movie at some point. But that wasn't it. That definitely wasn't it. So. Last honorable mention for me is Spiderhead, which was a Netflix movie with Hemsworth and Miles Teller. It's quite an interesting year for Joseph Kaczynski directing Top Gun Maverick and then also this just god-awful movie on Netflix.
Spider-Man. These Spider-Man spinoffs are getting kind of out of hand.
Way out of hand. Man. Way out of hand, yeah.
They're like, we don't have rights to the entire Spider-Man, just the helmet portion.
Make a Spider-Ham movie, cowards. Yeah, okay. That's my honorable mentions. Number 10 for me is Disney's Pinocchio.
Oh, I did not. I avoided this one. I did not. I couldn't do it.
Probably a wise choice. Pinocchio sucks. Just going to put that out there. Bad story. We don't need any more Pinocchio movies. Guillermo del Toro's version is great. Spoiler alert, maybe mentioned later. He did it well. The Disney version from the early days did it fine. Like we could stop. We don't need to do any more of these things. Hanks is terrible. The whole thing was terrible. Zemeckis should be like forcibly stopped. Should not be allowed to make movies anymore, in my opinion. It was very bad. So that's number 10 for me. Do you want me to run through my whole list or we do go individually? I don't know.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt's my Jiminy Cricket.
Right.
For life.
You've been tweeting that though. A lot, though, for many years. So
I've been saying that forever. Yeah. And finally,
he says that he has JGL in his basement tied up. Mm-hmm. And he kind of just strokes his head and says, "You're my Jiminy Cricket."
Richard, what's your first worst movie of the year?
Yeah, I don't have any honorable mentions on worst, but I do have a 10. So my number 10 worst, the top two of this list, I suppose, the least bad will be kind of a theme. So the number 10 is Doctor Strange.
Ooh.
Rough year for Marvel.
Interesting.
Yeah, I had it on the bottom half of my list for sure. It wasn't bottom 10 level, but it was bottom half, which was it's disappointing.
It's kind of what they represent too. Like it was just like, it just felt like they made it because they had to make it a bit. Mm. And I also have never been a Raimi guy. So, but yeah, I don't know. It was just, I hated it more though as I walked away from it over the last few months. And then, yeah, we'll talk about my number 9 here in a few.
Well, I've got a few honorable mentions I can get to. Let's see. The ones right outside of my list are as follows, guys. Black Adam. Mm-hmm. Jerry and Marge Go Large. Did you guys see this one?
I did, yeah. Yeah, not great. Cranston, man, it's, you can't ever blame him. I say this all the time. You can't blame him for doing garbage movies because he was like, he was a working actor for 50 years before Breaking Bad, like, broke him. And so you got to get paid. I get it. That was a pretty rough movie. Not great.
But does he even get paid for a movie like that? That's what
I don't know, man. Maybe
it's like, I would get it if he was in Jurassic World, but you're like,
right,
are you
right,
cashing a big check for Jerry and Marge Go Large?
Yeah, it's very odd. But it's a movie like where you see the plot synopsis, like, yeah, this could be really, really fun. It just, there was nothing, that story was pretty boring. I don't know why that ever even became a full-fledged movie. I don't think it was worthy of that. That one was bad. And the last one here, my honorable mentions, was Hocus Pocus 2. Guys, okay. Remember this?
Not great.
Barely. I barely remember that. That was pretty bad. So my number 10 on the worst of the year, Halloween Ends.
Yeah, that'll come up. Yeah.
On the best?
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah, okay, we'll talk about it later. But yeah, Halloween Ends, super disappointing because I love Halloween.
Mm.
And the ending, you want to be good. And it wasn't. So there you go. That's why it's on the bottom. Brian, what's the next one on yours?
Number 9 for me is a movie that I actually really, I'm not a horror movie guy. I've got two horror movies on this list. Here's the first one. I actually really liked this original movie. And then I felt like the sequel was like when DVDs used to exist and you'd go to Walmart and they'd have like the bin of whatever, $5 DVDs. And you'd find like, oh man, I remember this movie. And then it would be like, and you get a copy of the sequel as well for free. You know, it's just like the second disc in there. And you're like, oh, cool. How bad can it be? And then you're like, oh, right. Really bad. Very, very bad. So that is Orphan First Kill, which was a train wreck from like minute one. Was just like, oh, no. Lindsay and I went to see it in theaters. And minute one, I was like, nope, this is going to be terrible. Like, you just could tell. You just could tell right off the bat. So, First Orphan's really good. This one, not a fan.
Really? Because this one, didn't it get better reviews than the first one?
I don't know if it did or not. If it did, all those people are wrong.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Joke's on you, Brian. They got your cash.
They did.
You know?
They did, yeah.
Mission accomplished from Orphan First Kill Team. Well, what's the next one on your list, Richard?
Next on my list is Thor 4, whatever it was called, Lightning and the Thunder, or whatever that song was. Just like, you know, if you're going to be big sellout Marvel stuff, which is I'm fine with, like, it needs to, these seemed really kind of drifting and aimless. And also, just in this one, I was much more excited for. That's why I have it worse than Doctor Strange, even though it may not be a worse movie, because I love Ragnarok so much and love Taika and all that. It just felt like so sort of lifeless in a lot of ways. And yeah, just like that. This is the, these movies kind of prop up the entire industry at this point. And when they're bad, it's like they should be scored extra bad, I feel like, because they of what they are and represent. So that's my thinking behind it. So that's kind of the theme to kick off this list. And then we'll get into much worse movies from here.
It was called Thor Lightning and Thunder. And I was wondering why they used Imagine Dragons so much in the soundtrack. Now it makes sense.
Yeah.
Lightning and the Thunder. Yeah, that one was, I think, middle of my list, probably around.
Yeah, I like that movie fine. It was probably top 25-ish of the year for me. But I was fine with it.
You certainly feels like like Marvel is very templating out. Mm-hmm. Like we're starting to actively feel it. At least I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely a bit disappointing compared to what we know that they can do, you know, when Ragonk is out there as one of the best. So
a lot of these movies we have done full reviews on that you can go back and listen to. That was one. The next one on my list is one, fellas. Not sure if you guys remember this one. Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Apparently this came out in 2022. We did a review on it because I looked. Yeah. But it was bad enough that I ranked it this low on the list, and it stayed there all year.
Yeah, there's a good chunk of movies from the first 4 months or so of 2022, like that feel like a completely different time and year and place and everything. I was like, oh, right, that was this year that we're talking about. It feels much longer ago than then. But yes, yeah, good call.
What's the next one on yours, Brian?
Next one on mine is a Netflix movie. I will say my worst list, we only did a review on two or three of these. The best is the opposite. I think we reviewed almost all of them, just the way it broke down this year. Yeah, Netflix movie that, like, the first half, I was like, this is not good, but it's not terrible. Yeah, I kind of get the bit. It's fine. And the second half of it was, I just was kind of constantly yelling in my office, like, what are we doing here? Like, what's going on? It was second half, one of the worst movies I've ever seen. So it'll average out as the eighth worst movie of the year. That is the Jamie Foxx Snoop Dogg movie, Day Shift.
Oh. I saw multiple Snoop Dogg movies this year, but this was not one of them.
He's getting movies out, man. He's cranking them. Yeah, this was terrible. This was it was like, hey, we have a funny, maybe funny concept for a Netflix kind of movie. Okay, cool. Yeah, whatever. And then that concept really ran out of steam.
Is it like a vampire killers movie kind of thing?
I know.
Yeah. Van Helsing or something? What is it?
Yeah, it's similar. Yeah. I mean,
okay.
It's very, I don't know, paint by numbers for this sort of thing. And then again, the back half, it's not even that it ran out of steam. It just, someone along the line was like, hey, I've got a terrible idea. What if we did this? And everybody's like, oh yeah, that sounds awesome. And then that's the movie. It's very bad and very forgettable. No one will remember this movie. That's fine. But, it still deserves a place in the mention here.
Didn't Jamie Foxx have one last year? What was it? Project Power.
Project Power, yeah.
Project Power, yes.
I think that was 2020. I don't know. It's all.
Seems like Netflix has got him on some kind of retainer. So it's good on them. Jamie Foxx rules, but yeah, these are very forgettable. Seems pretty bad most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not great. All right. Next one on your list, Richard, for the worst of the year.
Yeah. Next up on my list is a movie. I don't think we did an episode. I can't remember, but I watched it because I'd read the book. The book wasn't great either, but I was like, this could be cool because of the cast. Maybe this will work. And everyone behind it, filmmakers and everything, was interesting. Well, a huge budget, et cetera. And that was The Gray Man.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that was quite a disappointing feature there with that kind of talent, you would think that it would be better than it was, for sure.
This was the Gosling Russo's Netflix one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Got it.
That is correct.
Yeah. I don't know why they keep spending so much on so little. You know, like, if you're going to spend money, make sure, like, what you're spending money on, there's some substance, something good. It feels like the screenplays and treatments are just means to an end to get something out there. And I don't think long-term that's a good strategy. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they're in the quantity over quality business, and that's an example right there. All right, next one on my list, I believe, was a Netflix one as well. I believe it was an exclusive Netflix one. Did not do an episode on it. Would have been excited for it at the beginning of the year if you had shown me the cast, all this kind of stuff. But I saw it, and I was so confused. Like, why? Why? Did you guys see White Noise?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not. Yeah.
Did not. This was not me. Not for me. I don't know what Adam Driver was doing here. Greta, I got you.
Just not for me.
Felt like taking Wes Anderson dialogue and putting it in
a
normal context, which makes no sense to me. Like, it felt such like, I was so clearly watching a staged movie or something. Like, there was nothing about this that I felt like I was invested. Such a high budget, such a weird movie. Yeah, everyone was really going for it in this, and to me, it just really missed the mark on in a lot of areas. But
yeah,
I guess the only thing it didn't miss the mark on is ambition, because it went for it.
I watched that. I didn't dislike it as much. I thought Driver was pretty good, and that saved some of it. But I definitely, as I was watching it, was kind of like, do I hate this or not? I can't decide. I'm not sure how I feel about this, and I ended up leaning more towards, I don't think this is very good. This is quite a bit of nonsense. But I think it was intentional nonsense. Not that that makes it necessarily better, but I definitely get this is not for me. The dance sequence at the end was like, really put me over the top of like, no, okay, this was nonsense. I'm not digging this.
I felt like they were going for Don't Look Up.
Yeah.
But they didn't lean all the way fully into let's do Don't Look Up.
That sounds right. He
let's do an Obama box, Don't Look Up, and this is what it was.
He had a lot of money to make that movie too, which is
a lot.
Hey guys, like,
that's what I'm saying. Stop.
We gotta stop spending money like this. We gotta stop spending money like this. But, okay.
$100 million is the peak you can spend, and that's a lot, guys.
Yeah,
I don't know what.
These movies got to be 30 million, guys. I'm sorry. That's just it is what it is. We got to stop spending $80-100 million on this kind of stuff. We got to stop. I don't know what to tell you anymore.
Yeah, that one looks like it cost $9 trillion and I'll never think about it again. 100 million was the budget.
Yeah. No.
Danny Elfman did the score. So there's probably the reason I actively disliked it. All right. What's the next one on your list, Brian?
Let's stay with Netflix. Let's stay with Netflix.
Here we go.
I watched this one. Yeah. Look, hey, Netflix.
It made $30,000 at the box office, though. White Noise did, well, though.
That's
so
money well spent.
$30,000.
Got to stay in the Noah Baumbach business. that's mean. He's very good. I don't know. Anyway, you know, look, Netflix has got two movies that are in my top 10. So it did quite well this year, but it also had several that are in the bottom 10. This one I watched knowing full well there was almost no chance that it wasn't going to be worst of the year. Maybe there was a drink involved in this. And so I watched Home Team, the Sean Payton movie with Kevin James.
I'm excited for the sequel with Russell Wilson.
Where he's just counting
home country
in his house.
home country.
God. So it's real bad. It's real, real bad. And I'm glad that Adam Sandler continues to get money from Netflix. Get all the money you can get. Same man. But can we stop? Can we stop doing Kevin James stuff? That'd be great. I would really like that. It was terrible. Really bad.
Yeah, that might come up a little bit later.
Okay. All right.
So what's your next one, Richard?
My next one is, you know, it's hard to put this on the list because it's a movie that brought all of us so much joy this year. It was a beautiful piece of just work, but it was awful. And it's Don't Worry, Darling. But I'm so glad it existed. What a fun time it was.
Florence kept it out of the worst of the year for me. I think she's really actually genuinely good in that terrible, terrible movie. And it was enough to save it from this kind of list for me. But I'm glad it wasn't for you. I'm glad. Because it was quite a fun ride. Yeah.
It was right between Doctor Strange and Corsage on my list. I don't know if you guys saw Corsage, but that one might be worth checking out. It's kind of a worse version of Spencer, Kristen Stewart. Remember that one?
All right. Yeah.
So, it was number 48 overall. So, you know, cracked the top 50, I guess is the best I could say to Olivia on that one. Next one on my list was certainly a disappointment going into the year. I would have pegged this way more near the top 10 than the bottom if I were to bet on it. Guys, it's Amsterdam.
Yeah, that's a disappointing one for sure.
Ooh,
for sure.
Man, that was a bummer. Nothing came together in this one. Had all the right, intention in the world, but sometimes things just don't work, you know? And this was a case of that, in my opinion. I don't know how many more chances David O is going to get.
Zero.
For
He's
me.
He's done. He's done.
Yeah.
He's not making movies anymore. Yeah. It's over.
Maybe.
Because of the off-screen stuff. Like, yeah. There's a 0% chance that he's getting money to make a movie again.
Yeah. Well, maybe in Italy.
Right. Yeah. Maybe him and Spacey.
Yeah, know? Exactly.
Team up together.
Yeah.
Go to make Napoli a heck of game. A movie.
Yeah.
Maybe a Louis C.K. tour video or something. I don't know. Like,
there's a market somewhere for him. Well, yeah, Amsterdam, the bottom for me. What's your next one, Brian?
Amsterdam is one of my favorite episodes we did this year. It was,
yes,
that was such a weird experience of a movie. And you're totally right. It's not good. It was very close to making the list for me. But it was a fun episode to do. Number six for me. I think seven is where I would start saying, like, here's where this is real, real bad. Six has no business being on this list. Like, there is no world in which if you gave us, okay, you gave the three of us, that's not even fair because Kent is a real director. If you gave me the money and the property that this thing had, I believe I can make it a C-minus movie and keep it out of the 10 worst of the year.
Right.
But it has been a pattern with this series. It still breaks my heart and makes me so frustrated. Number six for me is Jurassic World Dominion or whatever it's called. There should never be a time where a Jurassic Park movie is this freaking bad for the dumbest of reasons. You know, it just, they spent half this movie with giant locusts, guys. Like, the easiest thing to do would just be like, hey, what if we just put some dinosaurs on screen? And instead, we just get locusts for half the movie.
That's the whole point, Brian, though. You don't get it. That's the point is, it's not about the dinosaurs, bro. That's the next one on my list too.
Oh, sweet.
So we could talk about it here, man. That one, I actively dislike it. Trevorrow actively still thinks it is awesome. So watching that unfold is still hilarious to me. I'm a member of the Jurassic Park Reddit page, like just talks about all the Jurassic movies and seeing the fans come to grips with the fact that it's not good now, like a year later, is really funny. Like, guys, I just went back and watched it again. I don't think it was as good as I said it was when I first, really. So that's a funny thing. Just go on there and for a good time, for some good laughs. But man, I agree, Brian. That one should have been a bunt, you know, a bunt, easy, you know, walk off bunt to a win for them. I mean, it felt like such an easy thing to make that movie.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I don't even want to think about mistakes. Well, and so all these hybrid dinosaurs look dumb, and it's just everything about it's bad. Everything about it is bad. It did lead to some fun arguments with my 9-year-old, though. So if that's the goal, then congrats, I guess.
He was super in on it.
Yeah, I just at some point.
I can see how if I was 9, this would be the best.
Well,
thing
yeah,
I've ever seen.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It's at some point I just said I'm out on all dinosaurs that have feathers, and I'm out on any dinosaur that wasn't a dinosaur when I was 12 years old. Like, I'm done. Like, I don't want any new ones. All these hybrid dinosaurs, and it made Cooper furious. He was so angry at me. And
he just locked himself in his room.
We came home. We were at Target or something when this came up, because he was looking at the toys for Jurassic World, and I was just like, no, it looks stupid. I don't like it. And he came home, and he spent 30 minutes on my iPad Googling names of weird dinosaurs and showing me the picture and being like, are you on this? And yeah. I'm like, out. And he was just like, oh my God. He was getting so frustrated with me. So that was way more enjoyable for me than the movie was, for sure. For sure.
I'm kind of team Coop on this. I'm in on all dinosaurs, but
not me, man. I think there should only be 15. I think you shouldn't be able to make any dinosaurs
bad, though. Like, I shouldn't walk away from watching dinosaurs and be like, man, hated that.
That's my point. All these dinosaurs look stupid. Like I hate the feathers. I know I made a big deal about that on the episode. I know it's scientifically accurate. I do not care. It looks stupid. My brain does not accept this, and I don't like it. I don't like any of these new dinosaurs. So I think there should only be 12 or 15. We should limit it to 15 dinosaurs. That's it. Just leave it there.
Is this anywhere on your list, Richard?
Yeah, it's number 4 on my list, so we're just getting it out now.
Yeah.
Hated it. Hate the series.
So frustrating.
Hopefully that's it. Have you seen Colin Trevorrow come out now, though, and say there shouldn't ever have been any Jurassic Park sequels? Like, dude, you made 3 of them.
You did this. You are responsible
for it. It's just your fault. Could have said that at the outset.
Yeah. If you didn't have a vision for this, you'd just say that, man. It's fine.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Next one for you, Richard.
Yeah, next one for me is another superhero-y movie-ish. Don't know what we're doing here, but it doesn't look like it's going to continue, so that's cool. Black Adam.
Nice.
Yeah, that was gone. Again, seeing The Rock try to justify this as a success is still funny. Remains to be seen if The Rock can land on his feet after some poor performances, some poor PR type stuff, and then, you know, the next thing he's got is a J.K. Simmons Santa movie, it looks like. So, I don't know. I'm not really looking up. He's got to have to throw together a Jumanji or get back in Fast and Furious ASAP. Show up at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Having to kind of grovel to get back into Fast would be pretty fun. I would enjoy that.
Yeah. That would be good. All right. Next one for you, Brian.
Number 5 for me is one you mentioned, Kent, so won't go long on it. It is Halloween Ends.
You saw this one.
Yeah, I did. It was, I didn't see the middle one. What was it called?
Kills.
I didn't see Kills. And I was like, do I need to see Kills before I see Ends? And every single person was like, no, absolutely not. No one needs to see that. I was like, okay, cool. Ends is like, I don't know what we're doing here, and I don't know why. I don't know why we're making a Michael Myers movie in which Michael Myers is really not in the movie. I don't really get that. I think that's the thing you have going for you with Halloween is Michael Myers, and instead it's just some dude. I don't know. I don't understand any of the thinking on this. Please stop making these movies. I can't do it.
It was so promising at one point too.
Yeah. Yeah, the first one was awesome.
Yeah.
First one had some good ideas.
The podcast thing was fun. I thought the first one was sort of satisfying and a return That's probably the second best Halloween movie, I would say.
Yeah.
As not an expert of the Halloween movies, but we could stop there. We don't need it. We don't need to do this anymore. It's over. It's over now. Thank you.
Well, next one on my list is Jurassic World Dominion adjacent. The Bubble.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's coming up.
That was meant to be a spoof of Jurassic World and ended up being worse than Jurassic World, in my opinion. Yeah, this one never should have gotten off the ground. Another case of everyone says no, Netflix is like, yeah, we'll do it. And probably shouldn't have ever said, yeah, we'll do it in the first place. The Bubble, not good. And I'm Team Judd, too, but this was a miss.
I think I'm out now. I think I'm out,
too.
Yeah. I think he's lost it.
He can make a documentary.
Yeah, that's true. Shanling thing was great.
Yeah.
Bubble's number two on my list. So it was, and it really thought about it for number one. Like, that was a true, like, genuinely physically painful experience trying to force myself through that movie. It was so bad.
It's number three on my list too.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're all up there on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like a genuinely all-timer bad. Like, this is when we do a recap of this decade, that will definitely be in play for worst of the decade. It was so bad to me.
Yeah, that needs to be the subject of his next oral history, is just how bad that movie was, Judd. Yeah, I want that one. That'd be interested. Well, that one was bad. What about you, Richard? What's the next one on your list?
Amsterdam. So we've already talked through it, so just quickly. Yeah.
Brian, next on yours.
Number four for me. This is the number one movie of, oh, really? That came out this year? Wow, okay. And it was real, real bad. I have not revisited it. It came out, I will never revisit it, obviously. It came out a full year ago. So maybe it is just stuck in my brain as something that is worse than it actually was. But I can't believe how bad Moonfall was. That should be
that was this year.
Yeah, that was 2022. Yeah.
I thought that was last year. I would have definitely had it on this. I thought I had it on last year's list because
it was like late January, early February.
I just forgot it on here. That is,
yeah,
that's an all-time bad movie.
Yeah, and like again. It just shouldn't be that hard to make. Like, I mean, Emmerich has made his whole career off of disaster movies that aren't very good, but are like sort of fun, I guess. And then this one is not fun, and it has a couple of the dumbest plot twists, quote unquote, that you could possibly.
Oh, man, I was very excited for you guys to see that one. I did not know you did, okay, yeah, guys.
It's terrible.
This one, right when you think it's as bad as it could be, it gets worse. Mm-hmm. It's like one of those.
Yeah, real bad.
Okay. All right. Next one for me. You mentioned it, Brian. Home Team. Oof.
You were an early adopter on this one. You watched it much earlier than
had to. Well, I had to watch it on premiere night, you know? Get there, do a breaking news podcast on The Athletic, you know? But this one was bad, guys. And this comes to fruition because one of Sandler's writing buddies is married to or engaged to Peyton's daughter. So that's how this all came to fruition. I think this story is like pretty interesting, to be honest. The story of Peyton going and coaching a high school team, like that could be a good drama movie, but the way they went about it with this was the opposite of good. It's like they tried to make Little Giants, and it was pretty terrible.
Yeah. Also,
Liberty sucks too. Yeah. Just had to get that out there.
Yeah. And man, if you're ever making a movie about Mad About Movies and you cast Kevin James as me, I swear to God, I will lose my mind. Like, that's the biggest insult. I can't believe Sean Payton participated with that. But maybe Kevin James has a higher Q rating than I'm willing to give him credit for.
Well, you had to pick you only had like five people to choose from. That could be Sandler, Kevin James, Could be Rob Schneider. Could be Nick Swardson. Or
make me Spade. Just that's fine. That's fine. Go Spade. Go Spade.
Alan Covert. Or just that weird naked stoner guy from Grandma's Boy. That guy. Home team. Worst of the year for me on the bottom four. What about you, Richard? What's the next one on your list?
Bottom four for me. I'll just do my next two just to get them out because we've already talked about them. Jurassic World and then The Bubble.
Yeah, very similar.
Yeah.
Similar on your list too. All right. What about you, Brian?
Yeah, Moonfall was for number three for me. I only watched this genuinely because of the Oscars and knowing the nomination that it was going to get. Blonde is
such a
disaster.
I'm surprised it's that. I thought it'd be definitely your first worst. It's my second worst. So okay. Bad.
That's how much I hated The Bubble, that I had The Bubble.
Oh yeah,
true. Beneath this. One of the more confounding, you know, there's like Babylon is a movie that I did not care for, and I said in a review, I gave Chazelle a lot of credit for being ambitious and like taking some swings. I just thought he missed on pretty much every swing along the way. This is kind of the opposite. It's like, I can't call, this is not ambitious. This is just stupid and misguided and kind of shock jockey in a way. Like the direction on this is a disaster. And look, I love Ana de Armas and I'm content to have her on screen for, you know, whatever. And this like John Wick movie that she's going to do and whatnot. Like it's not a reflection on her like career or whatever. She is awful in this movie. Just awful. And I griped about it last week on the Oscar nominations news app. So don't need to rehash it, but I don't understand the thought process on this at all. This was just a dumpster fire, awful movie.
I think we're done with Marilyn Monroe movies too.
Yeah, look, Michelle Williams did it incredibly well. Like that, what is that? My Year with Marilyn or whatever. My Week. There it is. Sorry. She's so great in that. And we could just leave it there. We don't need to. This was exploitative and gross. And I mean, just so many things about it were very, very not good. And I hate that it got an Oscar nomination and sort of like validates its existence. It shouldn't exist. It's a garbage fire movie.
All right, my top three, speaking of garbage fires, Rob Zombie's The Munsters.
Oh man, didn't see that one. Yeah,
you did not. Oh guys, no. Guys. Guys, oh, imagine The Munsters. Directed by Rob Zombie.
Mm-hmm. Two strikes. Thanks. I'm good.
Lit by black lights.
God.
But it's worse than you. It's worse than you're picturing.
Is this bit? Is this like?
This is another Netflix one, by the way.
Yeah.
Got sold to them because I don't think anyone wanted it when it was. Right.
I don't get the appreciation, I guess, for the I'll be kind and say filmmaker who like is intentionally making bad movies. I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't know. It's I don't get it. I don't understand the appeal.
But you like his music, just not the films.
Right. Yeah.
Obviously. If his films could be as good as
right.
Dracula, then you'd be in. Well, yeah, that was a huge swing and a miss. The Munsters. And I like The Munsters, the show. Great show. Really bad movie. What's the next one for you, Richard? Top two, right?
Top two. Blonde is number two for me.
Got it.
Awful. Exploitive. Yeah. Really like a joke of a movie. That thinks it's so artistic and smart. That's always. Yeah. That's what makes it incredibly bad is like, there's just so much pretense to it. And zero delivery on it. I mean, that's a truly terrible movie. And the fact that it was so hyped for so long.
Yeah.
And yeah,
just brutal.
Awful. What about you, Brian? Top two.
The Bubble's number two for me. So, I assume this is on at least one of your lists, maybe both of us. It felt wrong to comment on 2022 and make an end of year worst list, and not have Morbius Tar? At number one.
Oh.
So Morbius is
Morbius
for me. To be honest, the bubble definitely is wasting more talent. Blonde is definitely a more awful experience. But the 5 year lead up to Morbius, the it's Morbin time line, Matt Smith dancing, all of these things. It was definitely the most memeable movie of in a bad way, of the year. And so I think it all combines to be the worst movie of 2022. So Morbius for me.
I'm with you. Morbius is my number one as well. It is unbelievable how bad, and just when they put it out again and it made $0 was so funny. Just an incredible moment in the history of 2022 movie going. I'll never forget that. So yeah, that was my number one. My number two worst of the year, I don't know if you guys saw this, was Metal Lords.
I don't even know what that is, I don't think.
This was brought to us by the Game of Thrones guys. Oh. And this is a movie about kids who want to play metal music. But it starred a bunch of kids, but it was like a really hard R, which was very confusing. And, you know, they said rock and roll is dead for a while. It's dead. It's official. This movie might have killed it forever. You got to see this, Brian. I can't believe you haven't seen this movie. Try to make it all the way through. I challenge you.
Okay. All right. I'll try. What is it even on? I don't.
Netflix.
I genuinely don't think I've even heard of this. Okay.
Metal Lords. Wow. Check that one out. I think it was part of the Netflix deal that they signed. Didn't they sign a big deal with Benioff and...
Uh-huh. They got the three body problem coming this year. I
think. Benioff and Weiss?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those guys. All right. There we go. There's the worst of the year for me. Richard, did we get your number one?
My number one, no, I can give it now, though. I don't think we've talked about it.
Oh.
Morbius.
Oh, man, that one was bad. Glad you brought that up.
Gosh. Yeah.
It's like 5 years, man. 5 years we've been building to this movie.
It was terrible.
Good thing they held
the worst sound mix ever, and such a stupid premise and performance. And yeah, just Sony is rough, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't wait for Kraven this year. That'll be a fun time for everyone. Yeah. Could definitely watch Morbius maybe 50 times again, though, before I watch The Bubble or Blonde, just to be honest.
Wow.
I can't do it. I physically wanted to crawl up inside my body during The Bubble. And yeah, Blonde was worse even on that side. But.
This is a guy who hasn't even seen Metal Lords or the Munsters saying this. You haven't seen nothing yet, brother.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, as we transition here to best of the year, guys, let's talk about our biggest surprises and biggest disappointments. How about that? Yeah. So, biggest surprise for you, Brian?
Biggest surprise for me. Had a few contenders. Everything Everywhere All at Once, I did not expect to be the movie that it like, from when did it come out, in like March or maybe early April? Mm-hmm. And just from a pair of directors whose last movie I is one of like five that I have not finished. I was like, nope, I'm out. Turned it off. Did not really expect that movie to be anything like what it was. And then it had like the most Oscar nominee. Great. It was generally turned out to be like a great movie. That's super surprising. For me, at least. That wasn't really on my radar for the 2022 bingo card. So that's probably number one. If I had another one, it might be like that. Puss in Boots 2 is in my top 10 of the year. Genuinely would never have expected that. And that the animation style on that is so great. Everything that happened with it, I'll talk about it more here in a sec, but that's quite a surprise as well for me.
What about you, Richard? Biggest surprise of the year?
Biggest surprise was, you know, it's just kind of movie that I just didn't really see coming until maybe right before it started coming out. We talked about it a bit on the episode. Was The Menu. I was like, oh, nice. That's cool. Yeah. That I, you know, when we do this show for 10 years, 900 episodes, seven of them good. We normally are pretty abreast of the release calendar and know what things are. We may not know if they're going to be good or bad, but we know they will exist in some sort of context. And that was one I was kind of just ignorant to, and then really ended up enjoying it. It didn't quite make my top 10. It was like my honorable mention just outside, but from not knowing what it was to liking it that much was, I love that feeling. So that was my surprise. Kent, what about you, man?
Yeah. My biggest surprise is I've got a movie, but it's more of just a category. And the biggest surprise for me is the movie Smile. I don't know if you guys saw that.
That's good. Yeah, good. And, I didn't see it, but good thought there.
And, you know, it did really well, but I think the genre, you know, observation here is just mid-budget smart horror movies. There were some really smart plot lines and direction, and it didn't just go like cheese horror this year. And that felt really refreshing. Smile was good. I don't know if you guys saw Barbarian was another one that I really enjoyed. Yeah, some smart ones. The Black Phone, another one. But some smart horror, and Smile, I think, summarized that the best. So that was my biggest surprise.
Nice. That's good. Good call.
All right, let's get into the top 10 best of the year. Brian, you have any honorable mentions?
I had a bunch. I won't name them all, but there was like, coming into this, I had six movies that were locks, definite. This is my top six. I had another couple that I felt like, yeah, this is probably seven and eight. And then I had, I don't know, 10, 12, maybe up as many as 15 movies that were like all sort of jumbled into one tier. And so like picking two out of that group was kind of like I'll just go with this and, you know, I'll be all right with it. But yeah, a couple movies that I ended up leaving out that I really, really liked and probably liked just as much as number 9 and 10 on my list was The Menu, which Richard mentioned, and maybe on his top 10, so I won't go long on that one. Very surprisingly, Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio is beautiful and honestly might be my favorite del Toro movie. It really did a great job with that. Did not see that coming at all. Marcel the Shell with Shoes On was delightful and really touching and sweet and very obviously very unique, cool use of that stuff. Chip and Dale was probably my last cut. I loved that. That was such a fun time. It's baffling to me that's the one that Disney kept out of theaters. Doesn't really make a lot of sense to me this year, but and then like Wakanda Forever, Lightyear, Prey, you know, the weird movie, Weird Al movie. I mean, there was a lot of movies that I thought were just solid A's, and so just kind of picking between those for the bottom of the list was difficult. So lots of movies there that I mentioned.
Richard, any that barely made missed the list for you?
Yeah, The Menu was on there. The Weird Movie was on there. Those are the main two that I would say were like honorable mention quality. A lot of good movies this year, like Brian said, around the eight, but I'll put those two as honorable mentions and then we'll get to the list.
Yeah, a couple for me that missed barely. The Batman, The Woman King, Smile, already mentioned. Babylon, actually, didn't make the top 10. Wouldn't have expected that going into the year. The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, really enjoyed this one, too. It missed out on the top 10. Chip and Dale, Brian, I'm with you. This one was in the top 10 for vast majority of the year. It just got bumped out like in the last month or so. I really, really thought that was probably my favorite comedy of the year. The first one right outside the top 10 for me is The Fabelmans.
Okay.
But what about number 10 for you, Brian?
10 for me, Puss in Boots 2, The Last Wish. Really genuinely could not have, I mean, I was,
can't wait to
the
see
Shrek
it.
Movies are fine, but like, I was not expecting this to be, this is like probably number one on the list of like, this has no business being as good as it is. The animation style is incredible. It's very Spider-Verse-y. And I mean, the voice talent's really good too, but like the story just had way, way, way more depth and thoughtfulness than I would have expected, given what most of the rest of this this universe has been. It's a really, really good kids movie that I think I was as into as Coop was, which doesn't happen a whole lot with animated movies.
Awesome. Yeah, that's never one you expect going in, right? Man, Puss in Boots is going to be in my top 10 this year.
From the director of The Croods, A New Age.
Yeah. It's a really surprising turn of events, but I really dug it.
And Trolls Holiday is a film.
An experience. What about you, Richard, number 10?
My number 10 is Rian Johnson's Glass Onion.
Nice.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think I still like Knives Out more, but we did an episode on this, not to belabor it, but yeah, just make these every two or three years. I'm happy and love the character, love the setting of this one was really fun and loved all the satirical parts of it. It was less like plot interesting as the first one, right? But it made up for a lot of it with just a lot of fun. So, yep, number 10 for me.
Awesome.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's number 7 on my list. So, yeah, big time agree. Loved it. I am with you too. Knives Out, I think, is a little bit better, but Glass Onion was a blast. A lot of fun.
Number 10 for me was one that I saw pretty early in the year and it stuck with me. It was so heartfelt, beautifully done. And granted, this is a director I'm a sucker for. I feel like he speaks directly to me, like to my soul. And so it's hard for me to look away or keep him out of my mind as I whittle down my choices for the year. It's Apollo 10 and a half. Did you guys see this one from Richard Linklater?
I did, yeah.
Loved this.
Nice.
I thought it was really interesting, you know, the roto animation and then obviously setting it in Houston, you know, kind of a period piece. I thought it was a really special movie and just kept going back to it in my mind as I kept thinking about just movies that struck me and spoke to me. And that one was certainly one of them. Apollo 10 and a half, space age childhood. It's got a little bit of space theme here, but it's a lot about, you know, coming of age type, you know, Linklater type of story. So check that out. Apollo 10 and a half. If you did not see it, it's worth seeking out. That's my number 10. What about you, Brian?
I like that. That was a solid pull, Kent. I enjoyed that movie quite a bit. Very touching, very sweet.
And yes.
Linklater-y. It's cool to see him do the animation thing again. Like that.
Yeah.
Number 9 for me is Cha-Cha Real Smooth. I kind of went back and forth on where this, for a long time, this was top, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 of the year. And then I had a stretch where I was like, I'm not sure I liked it as much as I, you know, it, on, upon reflection, I'm not sure I care as much about it, but I've kind of come full circle and I think it deserves a spot here. We love Cooper Rafe. Looking forward to that next movie of his with David Harbour. I think this was
Cooper Hoffman too.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. I thought this was a really, it was funny. It was very vulnerable and honest and there's some cringe factor to it, but I think organically. So yeah, I think it's an improvement on the first movie and I'm excited to see what he's going to do moving forward. But yeah, just right here at the back end of my top 10, solid A kind of movie.
Yeah, I really liked it too. Didn't stick with me as hard as Shithouse did. Mm. That one just crushed my soul in all the best ways. On my list, it was right between Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio and Lightyear. Okay. So two, you know, really solid movies. It was, put with. And again, yeah, very much looking forward to the next one. I think Apple probably thought that one would make a bigger wave when they purchased mm-hmm. it. But
yeah, I think they thought they had Coda too.
And right.
Didn't quite go that way. Yeah,
certainly. Next for you, Richard, number nine.
Number nine for me is The Fabelmans, but I think it'll probably come up higher on Brian, so maybe we'll save talking about it then. But, you know, a master at work for sure.
Yeah.
But I've got Cha-Cha at number six. So
nice.
Just as well. So that was I really enjoyed that. So
really good movie. I'm really excited to see what he's going to do. Not just with the next movie, but move forward. Just such an interesting kind of voice, I think, on the filmmaking side of things.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Next one for me, my number nine, one that stuck with me too. And I thought it was a really simple story. I'm not about big budgets. I think that's usually a theme on most of my lists is like, some of these run and gun movies I tend to enjoy. Did you guys see Emily the Criminal with Aubrey Plaza?
I did. Yeah.
Loved mm-hmm. this. Really enjoyed this movie. I love ripping people off, fraud type story. You know, this mm-hmm. is kind of a black market type fraud, credit card scams and shopping scams and all that kind of stuff. So that stuff super interests me. And then you've got this incredible turn from Aubrey Plaza in this movie that feels like it's going to open up a lot of doors in her career. Love Aubrey Plaza in this, and this movie was really enjoyable. So yeah, my number nine.
Nice. Yeah, I thought that was a pretty solid movie. Aubrey's great. She's always great. Love whatever she's going to do, pretty much.
She's awesome. Loved it.
Yeah, very good.
Loved it. Next one for you, Brian.
Number eight for me. I was rewatching it today, just kind of solidifying, where does this land? And because it had been a while, it was an early, first quarter movie from 2022. And I want to reward DC for doing things well, so I'm going with The Batman at number eight.
Nice. The
Pattinson Reeves joint and Dano. So I think done really well. There's a couple, I wish there's a couple things here and there with emo Batman that were kind of obnoxious, but otherwise, and the movie's way too long, obviously. But like you did up today, I was like, 3 hours? What the crap? So kind of forgot about that. But but overall, a good use of the dark and gritty, gloomy kind of thing that DC has done for the last 20 years now. It's nice. This was one of the ones. If it felt like finally, you guys have kind of figured out the way in which, or the when this is appropriate and how to do it well. And so I appreciate that was done and that we finally have a decent Batman movie again.
Turns out hiring a good director makes a difference.
It does. It does.
It's amazing how this thing
may, that works. May have something to do with that movie being
right. Perhaps. Yeah, I'm with you. It barely missed out on my top 10 too. It was it was in the biggest surprise camp for me, for sure. Okay. Loved it.
See. Yeah.
Next for you, Richard.
Next for me is a Netflix movie, Hustle, Sandler.
Nice.
Doing, yeah, really like this movie. It's, you know, I'm a basketball fan and a sports fan, and basketball has some of the worst movies about it oftentimes, and they get a lot of the basketball wrong. There's still some qualms with this maybe on a few things, but I thought it was a pretty, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily realistic, but it felt realistic, right? And it was done with a lot of love for the NBA game and a lot of great, you know, and, you know, Dirk's in it, so obviously it's going to be my top 10. So.
Five-spot bump because of that, for sure. Yeah, man, that was an awesome, awesome movie. Got a recommend from me earlier in the year, and Sandler, man. I never would have thought that a non-PTA, non-Safdies Sandler movie would bring that out of him, but here we are. Mm. Yeah, it's a new day.
Great. Oh, Sandman, that's too much. He's the best.
Yes. All right. Next for me, I'll go with my next one. It was Glass Onion.
Sweet. Really. That's number seven for me.
Really liked it. Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Love that. Yeah.
So yeah, not quite top five level. Like, I think Knives Out was probably, you know, higher on my list, but love these characters, man. Love Benoit Blanc. Love this universe. Give me all this you can do, Ryan. And it looks like he's already started on the next one as we speak. He's said that's his next movie. So
awesome.
We'll get more of it. We'll see if the next one can get higher on the list than number eight. But Glass Onion, super fun time, funny, great screenplay, good performances, and one I'll watch many more times. So Glass Onion for me was my number eight. It was number seven for you, Brian. So it was number
seven for me.
What was your number eight?
Number eight was The Batman. So number seven is Glass Onion. Only thing I would add to what you guys have said is Janelle Monáe is great, great in the double role. Thought she was fantastic. And Ed Norton as Elon Musk is one of my favorite things of the year. It was just a total blast to watch. To watch that and to then see to see Benny Blanc working off of that. The he's an idiot scene is one of the best scenes of the year to me. Very, very funny. Great use of the setup for that.
Yes, yes. All right, Richard, what's next on your list?
The next one on my list is the first entry in the Lydia Tarr cinematic universe, Tarr.
First of many.
What a weird
to
come. Cinematic universe.
Yeah, I thought it was just a really well-made movie. Cate Blanchett's incredible. She pretty much, if she's bringing it, it'll be a top 10 movie for me. It's like a really much more complex movie than I thought it was going to be. It has a lot to say. It's interesting. It's of the time. Thought it was really good. It's way too long, but if something's going to be long, might as well be good. But yeah, I enjoyed it.
All right. My number seven is RRR.
Nice.
You guys see this?
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
Gosh.
I haven't seen it yet. I want to. That's high on my list.
So freaking crazy, fun. Just an unlike anything I've ever seen. So I think that's why I put it on here. It just penetrated the society in such a way this year, and I enjoyed the heck out of it. I'll watch it many more times. So many memorable moments, and it's worth your time. RRR is my number seven.
Nice. That was just a wild movie, man. I'll be honest. I didn't watch it until like 2 weeks ago, exclusively because people who love that movie were like tweeting at us constantly about you've got to see it, you got to review it. And that doesn't work on me. It makes me go the opposite route. I was like, no, then I won't see this movie because I'm tired of you yelling at me. but I watched it a couple weeks ago and it's just bonkers, just absolutely bonkers and very fun and ridiculous and over the top and silly, like genuinely silly. And I liked it a lot.
Awesome. What's, I guess we are on Brian or six.
Yeah, I'm at six. Six for me. This is where I was like, this is the live. This is the top six. These movies are 100% going to make this list no matter what. Number six for me is The Woman King.
Great.
Number four for me.
Biggest snub of the year, feels like, for sure, in the awards.
Yeah, I have no idea how Viola Davis is not in the top five for not. I don't understand. In a year where we're letting Ana de Armas in and
To Leslie.
All seven people who saw To Leslie get on. I mean, come on.
Like, what, have you seen the articles coming out recently about there might have been some fraud going on there with To Leslie? You think?
Yeah, yeah. No, no, duh. Literally no one saw this movie. And come on. Like, and also, like, real bad optics. When the two people who are getting left out are come from The Woman King and Till, I mean, come on. Like, what are we doing here, guys? We got to. Gotta be a little smarter about this stuff.
They're saying now that they're gonna make it where it has to earn a certain amount at the box office to be eligible or something. And that would have knocked it out if that had been a rule. But
or how about it just gets released? Like, how about that? Right. Like, it was like in four theaters. Like, come on. Like,
exactly.
It never even reached Minneapolis, St. Paul. I mean, what are we doing? Woman King was really good, and I'm still genuinely surprised that he didn't get, like, literally got completely left out by the Academy. Viola Davis is great. Supporting work is great. This was, I mean, just really good movie. Just a really, really good movie. And I'm disappointed in the Academy and others that are involved in this stuff.
What about you, Richard? Number six.
My number six, we already talked about Cha-Cha, real smooth. So that's number six for me.
Nice.
Loved it. Can't wait for more. I did a lot more than I thought I would. I thought it might be like a sophomore slump a bit based on like the trailer, then loved it. Mm-hmm.
My number six, you mentioned, Richard, is Tar.
Nice.
I understand this movie's not for everybody. It was for me. I like classical music, and I'm kind of a nerd for that world because not a lot of stuff comes out covering it. Not for long, though, because we're getting a bunch of classical composer biopics and things coming up soon, Leonard Bernstein and such. So big times for the classical nerds. But yeah, man, this is a really entertaining movie for the subject matter, I think. And I mean, it gets pretty dark, but I think Kate plays it with such gravitas that never really goes to the level where you're just disgusted or you feel gross, you know, or you can with a movie that kind of takes some turns like this one does. But yeah, gosh, what a different movie, and such a challenge to make a movie about classical music interesting. And there you go. Tar.
All the Mahler, dude. Gonna be a big Mahler year.
It is. Cannot wait.
Kate's so, I mean, look, if Kate's in a movie, it's usually going to be a pretty good movie at this point. I will confess to you guys, Tar made me feel stupid. I think if I'd seen it in theaters, maybe it would have changed a little bit. I did not fully, every time I thought I understood the thesis, I guess, but like all the classical music, all the music side of things, I was like, I don't feel like I'm understanding what's happening here. There was too many, I don't know if it was just too much technical stuff or I'm a dummy. I don't know, but the composer side of things kind of lost me in the movie.
Yeah, but that's the stuff I liked the most was the music, sure. And then her shooting the album cover for Deutsche Grammophon, and really enjoyed Tar. I think it's got an outsider chance at some Oscars, some big awards. Like a lot of people had this on the as the number one movie of the year. I think LA Times had it as their number one movie. So sweet. I think it's got some outside dark horse chance at maybe a Best Picture win or something like that. But there you go. Number six for me. What about number five for you, Brian? We're getting into the top five of the year.
We are. Number five for me was, I think, is probably the last movie I saw that made the list and surprised me a little bit. And was like one of those where like a week later, I was like, God, I can't get this movie out of my head. It's kind of technically perfect. So five for me is All Quiet on the Western Front. Which was just haunting and sad and horrifying, but also like really beautiful. I think probably the best score of the year. I'm not a score expert guy by any means, but I thought that was like a perfect use of a score and to drive the movie throughout. And so it was a really, really dark, bleak, hard movie to watch, but gosh it was good.
I'm with you for sure. Richard, number five for you.
Number five for me is Chip and Dale. Made my list.
Nice.
Best comedy.
I thought for sure I would have it the highest of all of us.
Loved it. Loved it. Thought it was so funny.
So good.
Watched it the morning it came out. I wasn't even like a huge Chip and Dale guy. I mean, I was aware of them as a kid, but it wasn't really a nostalgia watch for me. It was more just like everyone involved. And giggled to my little heart's content.
For some reason, that
laptop.
That freaking J.K. Simmons character of the clay.
Yeah.
The Gumby.
The Gumby police commissioner just cracked me up so much. Where he comes in and to inspect the crime scene is just amazing. I just laughed so hard.
Yeah.
Like the mini apartment where everybody, the humans are all normal size is so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugly Sonic's a great bit too. Really,
there's a lot of good ones.
Ugly Sonic.
That was a special movie. It really was. It was a way better than it had the right to be, I think, for sure.
For sure.
Underappreciated. All right. Let's get mine here. My next one. Top five. Couldn't be 2022, not this in the top five, guys. Top Gun Maverick.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Assume you'll have it higher.
Yeah.
But thoroughly enjoyed this. And yeah, that's all I need to say. What more can be said, honestly? All right. Number four for you, Brian.
Number four, again, very surprising. Would not have expected this to be a movie that I not just was like, hey, that was fun, but like really genuinely loved. It stuck with me through the whole year. Has, I think, probably the best, honestly, might be the best performance of the, I think it's going to win Oscars, and I think it's going to deserve to win Oscars. Everything Everywhere All at Once is number four for me.
Oh. Very good. That's higher than I would have thought it would be on your list.
Man, I loved this movie, and it's such a weird movie, but I think it was like the perfect distillation of the weirdness. Like, just like, we're going to be as weird as we want, but we're going to wrap it up in a story that actually has, that feels very familiar and has, it's very, very poignant and touching and sweet in a lot of spots. And I think that the acting, I think Michelle Yeoh is going to win an Oscar, and she should. And I think that may not be where the awards end. It was such a great experience. Loved this movie.
Man, for sure. I think it's the movie that most of my friends, people I know, it's the most agreeable movie of the year. Everyone I've suggested it to has either seen it and loved it, or, you know, watched it and then told me that they really enjoyed it. I don't think I've talked to anyone that was like, nah, didn't really like it. You know,
I think, everyone just really loved it. Hot dog fingers and and the trophies, let's say, maybe are a bridge too far for some folk. I had a couple of friends who were like, what did I just watch? I don't understand. I'm like, yeah, I get it. It's weird. It's very weird. You know, don't forget their last movie involved a corpse that farted across an ocean. So, I mean, like, you know, it's, there's a lot of weird stuff, but it, I think, but again, I think the secret sauce on this, besides just great acting across the board, and it got what, four acting nominations. So, you know, deservedly so, but I do think the secret sauce is it is telling a really familiar story in really weird, interesting ways and with weird backdrop and the events that take place, but the story feels like something you know and you're familiar with and is, you know, maybe something that everybody has experienced in some way or in one side of the story or another as far as the mother-daughter relationship and stuff. And so I think that's why it resonates in spite of, or maybe because of, Hot Dog Fingers and such. So
for sure. Number four for you, Richard.
Number four for me is Woman King.
Nice.
Yeah, loved it. Well, that was pretty high on my list most of the year. Mm-hmm. Bumped back, a bit. Just, but yeah, loved it. Thought it was magnificent. Was like not that excited to see it, which is always the best feeling.
Mm-hmm. Number four for me is one that definitely stuck with me a lot. Was looking forward to. Probably thought it would be higher, but still pretty high on the list. It's Nope from Jordan Peele.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Really like this one. Can't wait to watch it again. Think it'll just fit right nice and snug in his filmography when it's all said and done. And the thought that went into this was just immense. So really appreciate Jordan Peele's work on this one. And Nope was just really special. Liked it. Liked it a lot. Shout out Kaluuya.
Yeah, he's awesome in that. That should have been on my list. I think I just... I probably an honorable mention. I should have said that. Mm. That qualifies honorable mention for me, for sure.
Mm. Got it. All right, number three, Brian.
Really wrestled with how to rank the top three here. It was three very, very good, to me, three very good movies and kind of all over the place in terms of content and themes and subject matters and whatnot, but if any three of these movies ended up being the best picture winner, I'm good. Like, I'm down. I think they're all worthy. So I'll just number three for me is Banshees of Inisherin, which I think, we did an episode 2 weeks ago, whatever, 3 weeks ago. So don't need to go long on it. Mark McDonagh is a genius, and when you take his work and you give it to Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson, that's going to be a great movie. I think it's fair to say. Love this movie. And whatever it wins Oscars wise, it deserves. It's a fantastic film.
Agreed. It'll come up later for me too.
Okay.
What's your number three, Richard?
My number three is Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Loved it. Loved it. Kept expecting for it to get knocked down the list all year, and it really didn't. It was wonderful and interesting. And I'm with you. I'm not a Swiss Army Man guy either, Brian. And pretty cool to see these filmmakers, in my eyes, redeem themselves. I know a lot of people love that movie, so I'm really interested to see what's next out of them, and so many great performances in this as well. So yeah, definitely a top three movie of the year for me.
Awesome.
Number three for me. It's one that I got to late in the year, but it was just fantastic. Hit all the notes that I was looking for. If it wins Best Picture, I'm not going to be upset, although it might upset some people because it's not one of the biggest movies of the year, I don't think. But man, this was just a masterwork. All Quiet on the Western Front.
Nice.
Number three. Yeah. This was amazing, like, to be quite honest. It was one of the best war movies I've seen in quite some time.
I really wasn't looking forward to that movie because, I've seen the original, I've read the book. It starts to feel like if you've seen one of these movies, you've seen them all, and but it just kept building buzz and looked like it was going to be an Oscar movie, and so finally went watch, and yeah, man, like, what a... That is a major achievement in filmmaking. It was a big surprise, the quality of that, not just the... It could have been really easy to just let the content of the movie be enough, but instead, I think in like every element went above and beyond to make a great movie, not just a good movie, or just not just a movie that feels relevant, or not just a movie that kind of sticks with you, but like to get all those things right and then double down with great performances and score and cinematography and all these things was a really impressive feat.
All right, number two, Ryan.
Like I said, 3-2-1, real tough to sort it out. I kind of just went with my heart over maybe my head with Banshees. And so number two for me is The Fabelmans. Can't...
Nice.
I'm biased. I'm in the bag. I'm a sucker. Whatever. As I said in the review, I think it was really hard for me, and still is kind of hard for me, to kind of sort through what about this movie is the movie and what is knowing who is making the movie and what who this kid will become and the impact that all of this will have all my life with as Steven Spielberg's my guy, my favorite director, and the person that I think of when the word director comes out, you know, comes up is Steven Spielberg. And so there's, you know, great acting, I think, across the board. But yeah, really, really hit home, really resonated with me. It was just kind of like a great emotional, probably weirdly nostalgic kind of experience. And I quite liked it. So two for me.
Wouldn't be surprised. There's a lot of sympathy Oscars for this one. Like, yeah, John Williams, not the greatest score you've ever done. Not even the greatest score of the year, but we appreciate you and Steven and all you've done. And so there you go. Since that's our last movie together. Sure. So that kind of thing I could see maybe possibly happening too, but Fablemans was, man, Steven doing Steven stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Number two for you, Richard.
Number two for me is Top Gun 2, Maverick.
Nice.
Great. Just pure joy. Watched it like 13 times now. It's out on digital. Yeah.
I know this was a stacked year for supporting actor, but would have loved to see Val get a little nod there, you know?
Sure.
Would have been nice.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great. There's not a note wrong about it. It's so cool. The flight scenes are incredible. Mm. Plot's just perfectly cheesy and awesome, and loved it.
Awesome. Yeah.
Number two for me is Banshees of Inis Sheeran. And we did an episode on it a few weeks ago. Go back and listen to that, but just about as perfect as we could be, and obviously deserves all the credit it's been given and praise it's been given. So there you go. All right. Recap your top 10, Brian, before we get to number one.
Sure. Number 10, Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. Number 9, Cha-Cha Real Smooth. Number 8, The Batman. Number 7, Knives Out, Glass Onion. Number 6, The Woman King. Number 5, All Quiet on the Western Front. Number 4, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Number 3, The Banshees of Inis Sheeran. Number 2, The Fablemans. And number 1, Top Gun Maverick. The antithesis of Morbius, this movie that we knew is coming for the last like 5 years, and it finally came out and it delivered, and it was a not just such a great experience, but like I gave it a little credit too for sort of revitalizing the film industry for a bit. Like it was such a fun experience having this like month or 6 weeks period where I usually hate when people talk to me, like normies, like regular people in my life. I don't want to talk to about movies with you because inevitably you're like, I loved this movie. And I'm like, I hated it, or the reverse of that, or whatever else. And I don't want anyone to ever know that we do a podcast in my real life and all that kind of stuff. Top Gun Maverick was the opposite of that. It was just like constantly people were coming up and be like, hey, have you seen Top Gun Maverick? I'm like, yeah. It was awesome, wasn't it? And just, I don't know, it was such a cool collective water cooler experience that just so rarely happens with movies anymore, and certainly even more so with movies that aren't technically like superhero movies. Like maybe you could make a case that Maverick is a superhero, and I would kind of agree with you, but like that aren't Spider-Man or Iron Man or Batman or whatever else. It was... And for it to for that energy and excitement to last for as long as it did, was a really cool experience, really cool thing that just hasn't happened a whole lot over the last 5 years. But fantastic movie.
It's so a movie about nostalgia in a way that it ended up providing like more recent nostalgia on water cooler moments. That's interesting.
Totally. That's a great point. That's a great point. But just such a, Richard said it perfect. It hits all of the notes perfectly. It does exactly what it is supposed to do, and then some. And man, what a great time at the movies, and in the 70 times I've watched it since theaters. So yeah, great movie. Loved it. Super delivered on everything I wanted it to.
Boom, there you go. It's about time something goes right for Tom Cruise. You know.
Just want to be on the holiday cake list, man. That's my only goal in life, is just to get that,
it's amazing.
That Christmas cake. Yeah.
All right. My top 10 was Apollo 10 and a half, Emily the Criminal, Glass Onion, RRR, Tar, Top Gun Maverick, Nope, All Quiet on the Western Front, Banshees of Inisherin, and my number one was Everything Everywhere.
All at once. Very nice.
Just, gosh, this is a movie unlike anything I've ever seen. Super funny, thrilling, touching. This was probably a favorite more than the best of the year. I think All Quiet on the Western Front might be best of the year. Yeah, Everything Everywhere, just super enjoyable and came out freaking early in the year and stayed at number one for the entirety of the year. So I think that says a lot about the quality of the year and both the quality of the movie. So check out Everything Everywhere if you never saw it. Awesome. Now's the time. You've got time before the Oscars. And I think it'll win some. Definitely Michelle will win. And hopefully that comes to fruition. But there you go. That's my number one, Everything Everywhere. Richard, top 10.
Yeah, my top 10. Honorable mentions were like The Menu and Nope. Number 10, Glass Onion. Number 9, The Fablemans. Number 8, Hustle. Number 7, Tar. Number 6, Cha-Cha Real Smooth. Number 5, Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers. Number 4, The Woman King. Number 3, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Number 2, Top Gun Maverick. And number 1, The Banshees of Inisherin. I can never say it. I always choke myself up on it. But yeah, so we talked about it in the episode. Banshees of Inisherin is incredible. Loved it. Beautiful setting, beautiful acting, beautiful writing, unique story. You know, funny, sad, everything you would want. Total perfect movie. So that is my favorite of the year.
Awesome. Your blood wouldn't let you vote any other way. Like, no, you tried. Yeah. It's like a magnet. Tried.
Yeah.
Just wouldn't. You couldn't.
Exactly.
Couldn't do it.
Choked down a dark beer. Voted the way that I had to.
What a fun year, though, honestly. Like, all those movies between, I don't know how many we all shared in common, but let's say there was 20 different movies listed there amongst the three of us, like, and kind of a wide range of budgets and genres and I don't know how where this is the year is going to rank as compared to some of the other years that we've had in the 10 years of doing this, but that was it was fun making this list and be like, man, there were some really good movies this year in a lot of different categories and genres. I dug that. It was kind of a varied year. Really, really fun.
I totally agree. Before we get out of here, guys, let's talk about MVPs and LVPs. Let's go with LVPs first. For least valuable player, I had no other choice but to put just Spider. Just Avatar 2, Spider, the entire Spider.
Forgot about Spider.
Took what could have been a decent movie to an actively bad movie, in my opinion. So Spider had to be the least valuable player.
Did you see that they had to shoot that twice? He had to shoot all of his scenes twice.
Oh, well, it was worth it.
5 years apart.
You had to include that. Spider's my least. What about you, Brian?
I think The Rock probably is number one for me.
That was mine.
So you go on that. No. I've been stealing your thunder all night.
You haven't. No,
I got
not at all.
I got another one that I can go to.
Oh, okay.
You go on The Rock.
Yeah, rough year for The Rock. Rough year for The Rock, and I think everyone I know of is rocked out.
Yeah.
Not with other things out, but they couldn't not.
I
was watching Squawk on the Street or something the other morning, and we had like 5 commercials for Young Rock. And you're like, what is going on? Like, he can't. I mean, it's just so overexposed. And then he's added this, and he was great for years. You know, nothing against it. This happens, but just so overexposed. Everything seems so like corporately sponsored.
Yeah.
And then he adds this new layer of like Paul Feig, refusal to admit anything but universal success. rough year for Dwayne, the Dwayne.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been all this time, like getting this movie to,
yeah,
to the masses and then have it land like it did. I mean, ugh, what a beating. What a beating of a year for him.
He does have the thing that other action stars didn't have, though, whenever we got tired of them. He can always just go back to WWE. It's like the
right.
Entourage, we can go back to a pizza place in Queens or whatever. Like, at least he can go do that. So that's good.
Right. There's always money in the banana stand.
Absolutely.
For him, if he wants to do that.
Okay. Saudi money in the banana stand.
Okay.
So, so odd that there's a freaking TV show about his life on NBC. Have you guys seen that show? No, Young Rock?
Just commercials.
I watched, I think it came on, I think Dateline was on, and it was on right before that, so I caught it. Caught some of the end of it. It's like full on doing his WWE career and everything.
Yeah, I know.
Like they were showing, they were redoing a match of him and Triple H from like back in 1999 or whatever. And The Rock's in it. The Rock's in the show.
I know.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird.
It's very good odd.
Good bit.
All right.
The Rock is the right answer. My I'll give you my second choice was the Coke supplier on Elvis, because he ran out halfway through. I don't know what.
Yeah, he dropped the ball.
So I think I might have hated Elvis more if it had just gone Coke the whole time, but at least it would have stuck with the theme of being real coked out.
Yeah.
It's so weird to me that halfway through that movie, it was like, and now we're doing Walk the Line for the rest of this movie. I don't, such a strange experience. I don't really understand. Hanks could have been least valuable too. Which
yeah, Hanks had a bad year.
First Elvis mention of the pod, I would have had it at way under the hour and a half mark, but here we are. Yeah, that was really bad. My most valuable player of the year was Paul Dano.
Nice. Yeah, he's on
in Batman / Fablemans. Big, great year for Paul Dano.
And Benjamin Brunson.
My other honorable mention MVP, which I never thought would be the case, but Leguizamo Sans is upon us. John Leguizamo popped up in The Menu and Violent Night, and it was great in both. Never thought I would say that, but yeah, John Leguizamo.
Nice
year, 2022 for him. Most valuable player, Brian.
I got two good ones. So why don't you go first, Arby, in case I'm stealing your spot again.
Mine's just, I mean, the man that keeps movies on his back, Tom Cruise. So mine's smart. Right down the line. Yeah.
Okay.
He's got the fate of the universe on his shoulders.
Everything depends on him, mm-hmm. but he keeps coming through very strong for us. So, it's good.
I was a little worried, you know, with, The Mummy.
Yeah. But
you know what? He didn't just keep doing, you know, A Man Called Otto and stuff when he had a bad year. He came back with Top Gun too. Respect.
Man. Really?
But that's scary for Hanks too, though. You know, I love Hanks, but like that means Forrest Gump too could happen.
It's always lingering out there. It's always possible.
This Otto character kind of looked like an old Forrest, did he not? You know, it's a skinny, like he looks primed to get him and Bob for one last run.
Running back, boys. But please don't.
Yeah.
MVP, Brian.
I'll give you two. One's is Colin Farrell, who has Banshees of Inisherin, The Batman, like two huge movies. And then also After Yang, he's really good in that.
Yeah.
And 13 Lives, he's very good in that as well. Like that's just, as prominent members of the Colin Farrell fan club, this has been a really great year for us. And I still haven't seen The Whale. I know everyone's rooting for Brendan Fraser. Maybe when I see that, it will change my tune. But I hope he gets the Oscar because I want to hear his acceptance speech because it's always great. Mm-hmm. Every single time he gives a speech, it's incredible. But I love this man, and I'm really happy for where he has ended up given where he was, you know, 20-ish years ago or whatever. So big win for him. And I'll also give you Airplane movies. There were a whole bunch of movies I saw this year that were like solid B to A minus kind of movies that you could have enjoyed on a tablet, let's say, or whatever. And just with like Vengeance and Devotion and See How They Run and Confess Fletch and Bullet Train and Lost City. Just a whole bunch of. Was that great? No, it wasn't. Was it enjoyable? Yeah, it was. I had a good time with that kind of movies and that were, you know, at least sort of made for adults. And I like that. They were good year for that kind of movie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what a year 2022 was, guys. I feel like we can finally turn the page somewhat, talk about some 2023 movies, which we will do starting next week. Very excited for that. We've got rom-com talk in the VIP this week. If you want more from us, we do throwback episodes talking about older movies. We're doing some all-time bad movies coming up too. We got a Gigli episode dropping with the VIPs later this month. So join us for rom-com talk later this week as we talk How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, which is in honor of kind of some the month of Valentine's Day, you know, the month of love, all that kind of stuff. So check that out. That'll be a fun time in the VIP.
10 years, guys.
MadAboutMoviesPodcast.com/VIP. Yeah, there's 10 years of movie lists, and maybe we'll do 10 more. I don't know.
Yeah.
Don't bet on it, but maybe. Yeah,
maybe.
There's a chance. If you had told me, 10 years ago that you'll be doing 10 years of this, I'd be like, no, don't bet on it. But
it's the longest
are,
so. Job I've ever had, I think, yeah.
Right, wow. Exactly.
Yeah. Like so. We always say, there's kindergartners now. There are kindergartners that when we started this that are like in 10th grade.
So, hey, thanks for sticking with us the entire year listening. Send us your lists on social media. Email them to us, madaboutmoviespodcast.com. Click contact there if you want to send them that way. But we always love to hear what everybody thought of this year in movies. And we're rocking and rolling on to 2023. We'll do this all again. So follow us on Letterboxd, Brian and I, where you can see these full lists. Follow us as we document our year in movies as we go along. And follow us on social at Mad About Movies, Mad About Movies Podcast on Instagram. We love you. We appreciate you. And we'll see you next year at the cinema.
Bye. Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face.
They're making me ya-ya.
They're calling again.